I want to mention a couple of announcements that may not be in your bulletin. I want to, I think Pat Humphrey is in your bulletin, but there won't be Wednesday Bible study this week because Pat leads that, and most of you know he ended up in the hospital with a mild heart attack and is going to need to do some further doctoring and testing. So you on the Wednesday morning Bible study, that's off for this week. We'll probably send out a call multiplier to remind you of that. And so please be in prayer for Pat. Please also be in prayer for our sister Jo Richmond. She's here with us this morning, but she's got to have some surgery this week, so add her to your prayer focus also. I also want to say a word about Baptism Sunday. That is just a really, really special day that Kevin and Melaine have invited us to the Long Prairie River on the south side of town this year again. So we will go there a couple weeks, 3 weeks, I think, from today. And I just want to say this, friends. If you're basing going to heaven on you've been good, or you went to church a couple times, I want you to realize that Jesus is beckoning you, come by faith to Him. And when you come by faith to Christ, according to the model we see in Acts, we should be baptized to show the rest of us and the world, I have committed to Christ and I'm being baptized. That's why we baptize. And I will mention more about that on Baptism Sunday. But I want you to really think, if today was my last day, where would I be tomorrow? Would I be with Jesus? Because I put my faith in Him? Because He died on the cross for me? Because if the answer is, I don't really know. I don't really know where I'm going to be. Then I want you to think. You say, Jim, I got all kinds of time to think that through. I'm only young, and I'm only this, and I'm only that. You haven't got any guarantees of tomorrow. And if you haven't surrendered to Christ, last week I talked in depth about being born of God, being born again. Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. If you haven't experienced that, friends, may I encourage you, do not delay. Come to Christ by faith. Be baptized and show the rest of us and all that will come that day. I have put my faith in Christ and I'm going to be baptized and walk with Jesus. There's no better way. There's no other way. Amen? Now, that's not what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about having a servant's heart and I'm going to talk about communion. But I just want you to think, what if today was the last day? Am I ready to be with Jesus tomorrow? He's died on the cross for me. He has shed His blood for my sin. Have I repented of my sin? Have I claimed Him by faith as Lord? Am I willing to walk with Jesus? Eternity depends on what we do with Jesus. If you've got your Bible, I'm going to go to Luke 22. We're going to blend these two together because Jesus blended them together on the night of His betrayal. Luke 22, He talks about and shows and demonstrates communion, and He also talks about this topic we call servanthood. And so we're going to put them two together for a few minutes in preparation for communion. Luke 22, if you've got your Bible, I'm picking it up at verse 14. If you don't have your Bible, it should be on the big screen for you. This is the night of His betrayal, the night before His crucifixion. He's in the upper room with His disciples. He's about to have what we call the Last Supper. When the hour had come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. Then He said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then He, that's Jesus, took the cup and He gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then the Bible says, He took the bread, He gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." And then he said something that probably caught them off guard. He said, "But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of God goes at it as it has been determined." You see, this was predetermined by God, and the Lord Jesus came to earth knowing that death and the cross was in view. And so Luke writes, as Jesus said, "And truly the Son of God goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Which of them would in fact betray him? In the very next verse, apparently that was a short-lived conversation about, okay, who's going to betray him? And Luke records this. In the very next verse, "Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest." So they went from, "Is it I, Lord? Is it I that I'm going to betray you?" to this conversation amongst themselves, who should be the greatest? "And he said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over you, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, but not so among you. On the contrary,'" he, Jesus, is telling the 12, "and us, 'he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves?'" They all knew the answer to that question. The person that sat at the table that was having the servants minister to them, that is the greatest. And look at what he said. "Is it not who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves." Let me have a word of prayer before we go any further. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for the truth of this word. Thank you for the opportunity for communion that we will celebrate here together in just a few minutes. But thank you also for the instruction of Jesus to the disciples about serving, about not lording it over one another, about not jockeying for position of who's the greatest, but rather having a heart to serve. Help us to learn from this today. I do pray, Father, for those that are sick and those that are hurting, and especially those that I've mentioned just a little bit ago and all those on the prayer list, and we just pray that you'd watch over them. And I do thank you for America. Thank you for the blessings that you have blessed us with in this great nation. Help us, Father, to be a people of this nation that turn back to you. Forgive us, I fear, too oftentimes in too many places, in too many instances, we have turned our back on you and said, "I'll do it my way." Forgive us for that. And help us to be a people of a nation that turn and look completely to you, the living God, and to your word, and to your Son, and to your Spirit for guidance and salvation in life. Father, help us to look to you, I pray. Guide us now as we continue to look at this scripture and prepare for communion. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Henry Blackaby has written a lot of books. Have some of you read Henry Blackaby? Not so much, a few of you. Henry Blackaby is a great author, a great man of God, and he's written a lot of books, and he also wrote a devotional. It's called Experiencing God Day by Day. And I was reading that a while back, and I noticed this in that book. Put up that quote for me, please, Kristen. Here's what he said, and it goes right along with what Jesus just said. "The measure of greatness in the kingdom of God differs vastly from that of the world. Are you still with me, friends? The measure of greatness in the kingdom of God differs vastly from that of the world. Our society idolizes the rich and the powerful, the beautiful and the athletic. We even make celebrities out of those who brazenly flaunt their immorality. The world claims it is demeaning to serve others. However, God's kingdom completely rejects the world's measure for esteem, giving the greatest honors to the one who serves most. In other words, the servant. That's what the kingdom of God gives greater esteem to. Then he said this, the person who serves selflessly, lovingly, without complaint, and without seeking recognition is highly regarded in the kingdom of God. When Jesus and his disciples entered the upper room, the disciples looked for a prominent place to sit. Jesus looked for a place to serve. As they, that's the 12, awkwardly waited to be served, Jesus took a towel and a basin and he washed their feet. John 13 elaborates on that. I'll turn to that in a minute. Blackaby then continues, we Christians like to refer to ourselves as servants, but we are seldom content to be treated as servants. We are tempted to adopt the world's evaluation of importance. But when we look to Jesus as our model, we see that it takes a far more noble character to serve than to be served. The world will estimate your importance by the number of people serving you. God is more concerned about the number of people you are serving. If you struggle to be a servant, your heart may have shifted away from the heart of God. Watch for Jesus' invitation to join him in serving others. It will come. End quote. As I was thinking about communion today, and I was thinking about these words of Jesus in Luke 22, having read Blackaby's devotion, I come up with three thoughts that I want to share with you and I want you to think about for a minute as we press on in preparation for communion. Thought number one, how often do we compare with the disciples and they're jockeying for position of importance? Give me that important chair. How often do we compare with the disciples in their desire, serve me, rather than to be the server? How often do we find ourselves in that same category as the disciples that night? And then I thought about this. How often have we in the church, or do we idolize the powerful, the rich, the sports hero, those types that the world idolizes rather than the Mother Teresa types or the mentor who will give time to a drug addict? How often do we in the church idolize the same things that the world idolizes and we do not pay regard or much mind to those that are serving the least of those around us? And lastly, how often do we look for opportunities to serve others instead of looking for ways to get out of serving? Only you can answer those questions, but I would encourage you to make a fair assessment of them as I have. Jesus calls us to serve. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? Am I putting you to sleep? Jesus calls us, as he called the 12 that night, to serve one another, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and in loving him, to love our neighbor as ourselves, Sometimes those neighbors don't look like us, they don't act like us, they don't think like us, and be willing to serve the least of these. When the Son of God got on his knees before these disciples and washed their feet, they probably were thinking, what in the world are you doing? Because they knew in their culture, when they were guests and they would arrive at somebody's place, it was the servant's job to wash their feet. And here the Son of God, who is teacher and Lord, he'll say that in John 13, I am your teacher, I am the Lord, and yet he washed their feet. And he then said to him, I've done this as an example for you. Disciples and people of God, people who have claimed Christ, I have done this as an example to you to serve each other. We should love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with enough intentionality and passion that we actually love our neighbors and desire to serve somebody else. That's what he commanded us. Now, Blackaby is not suggesting in this devotional that service to others is going to earn me some star in heaven. He's not suggesting that. I've heard people say, well, you should get a star in heaven for that today. That's not what he's saying. That's not what Jesus is saying. But rather, for the follower of Christ to be obedient to the word of God and to the call of Jesus to serve another. That's what Blackaby is talking about. He said when Jesus and his disciples entered that room, I guess I really never thought about this. But when you read what Luke wrote, it's true. But Blackaby writes, when Jesus and the disciples entered into that room, the disciples looked for a prominent place to sit. I am important. Pick me. I want to sit there in the prominent seat. And Blackaby writes, Jesus looked for the place to serve. Blackaby is also right when he says, the world will estimate your importance by the number of people serving you. God is more concerned about the number of people you are serving. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? We like the pats on the back. We like the people beckoning at our command. But Jesus said, that's the world standard. And Jesus said, and the Word of God reminds us that we are the ones that should not be receiving all the attention, but giving the service. This should be the heart of the follower of Christ, serving rather than expecting to be served. Now, I'm not here to suggest what you should be doing, but I am here to suggest that as followers of Christ, our hearts and our minds should be looking for and thinking about ways in some place, in some capacity, in some form, to somebody serving them. Somebody reminded me after the first service. He said, there were actually two deaths the week that Princess Diana died, he said to me. He said, you know who the other one was? And I said, I do. I do know who the other one was. It was Mother Teresa. And the world gave the attention to the princess. And the servant didn't get any attention. That's the world's idea. God has called his people to a role of servanthood. In whatever capacity, and we all have different gifts, we all have different limitations, we all have different capacities and different abilities, but he has called his people to serve one another. John 13 says this. I got to press on because we're going to go to communion. John 13 says this. This is the same setting, the same night, just a different author, different gospel. So when he had washed their feet, that's Jesus washing the 12, he took his garment and he sat down, and he said to them, do you know what I have done? Did they know what he did? I doubt it. I mean, other than they just got the dirt washed off their feet. He said, do you know what I have done? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. In other words, you're right about that. I am the Lord. I am your teacher. You're right about that. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. And that example is serving each other. Are you with me, friends? That's what Jesus said. Can you envision for a moment the church, what the church would really look like if we were all excited to serve in some capacity, someplace within the church and without? Could you imagine what it would look like? You say, well, Jim, that's not my gift. Well, there are people in every capacity, in every walk, in every place that could use something. And God calls his people to serve each other and serve the least of these. You know, one of the things that I think keeps us from serving, I think it was evident in the supper that night, and that's pride. They were jockeying for position. I want the important seat. Never once thinking about being the servant. I think so oftentimes pride keeps us from serving. It takes humility to wash someone else's feet. It takes humility to serve the least of these. And I fear too oftentimes pride gets in our way. I think it was in the room that night. Pride gets in the way and keeps us from serving one another as Jesus modeled and commanded when he said, I have given you this example that you should do as I have done to you, serving one another. The leader should also be the servant. That's what he's saying.
Well, let's pray. Lord God, as we go off this week into a 4th of July Independence Day week, let us bring in remembrance for those that served and paid it all for us to celebrate this independence, Lord. Be with them in family and in spirit as they go amongst their week. It's deeply important to them. We support them. Lord God, just bless us as we just keep you in the front of our foremost, everything we do this week, have it be focused on you. Lord, have us be paying attention to the baptismal Sunday coming up. If it's on our heart today, that we move forward with that and don't be robbed of it. Lord, we are just grateful and thankful to be here. Bless this rain to our ground and our soils and our farmers. And be with our pastor throughout the week and all of us as we go. Lord, we love you and we pray all this in your name. Amen.